Welcome to Behind the Headlines, your daily roundup of some of the stories our reporters have been covering across the UK, focusing more on the talkable big issues and sometimes the quirky. It's a chance to give the stories a bit more time and space than we can usually fit into our hourly news bulletins. In this episode, we've got loads of reaction to some of the Chancellor's big growth plans, including from the village that could be bulldozed to make way for expansion at Heathrow Airport. We also hear about parking on pavements problems and from an actual pop idol.
None of us knew what it was or what it was to become, and we just enjoyed the ride. I was only 17.
But let's start with the latest big political speech, which promised growth across the UK. The Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, made a number of announcements in Oxfordshire earlier, with the headline one arguably the government's backing of a third runway at Heathrow. But there has been criticism of that from environmental campaigners and at least one airline boss who says it won't happen for decades and that we should use capacity at other airports instead. Reservoirs and railways also got a mention. Well, with more details from today's speech and reaction from across the UK, here's our political editor, Georgie Prodromou.
Well, it's been a testing time for the Chancellor after her so-called budget for growth in October and the criticism that's come since. But today, she's been keen to stay optimistic.
For too long, we have accepted low expectations and accepted decline. We no longer have to do that. We can do so much better. Low growth is not our destiny.
The main announcement, of course, being the backing of a third runway at Heathrow Airport, which she says will make us the world's best connected place to do business.
As our only hub airport, Heathrow is in a unique position, and we cannot duck the decision any longer.
Not everyone is impressed, though. Our reporter Claire Bode's been speaking to people who live close to the airport and will be affected if this goes ahead.
You will struggle to find a lamppost here in Harmonsworth that doesn't have a Stop Heathrow expansion poster on it. This village has a lot of history. Its church alone is nearly 1,000 years old. So within an hour of the Chancellor's announcement, local campaigners had set up in the village square opposing that third runway. One of those was Alistair Martin, who's lived here for 26 years.
I think it was all totally expected today. I won't see it. It'd be 2040 or 2050 before first plane takes off. You know, 70 now, so I've got, you know, another 20 years. Nah, I won't see that. But I don't want to see it either.
18-year-old Fletcher told me he's worried about his future in the village.
If this wasn't going ahead, I would be living here 50, 60 years. I went to school here, the church. There's two pubs, two churches, two shops. It's such a community.
Currently, there is no timeline for when or if this expansion happens. So for now, locals who have been waiting decades for a decision must wait a bit longer.
The Chancellor's also backed expanding Luton and Gatwick airports and announced a growth corridor between Oxford and Cambridge, which she says could be Europe's Silicon Valley. Among the announcements is a redevelopment of Old Trafford, where reporter Olivia Davis is for us.
In the next decade, this land here with just offices and derelict buildings will be filled with brand new housing, a school and a park, all very different to the current landscape I'm looking at. It's part of the government's plans to redevelop the area at the same time United build a 100,000 capacity stadium. People living nearby are telling me they have mixed views.
They don't seem to spend much money around here.
The infrastructure around here is not good enough for it. It's stupid here on match days as it is. More crowds just means more nuisance.
Yeah, it'd be good, yeah. And like I say, it'll bring jobs here, won't it?
Well, the Chancellor says ministers will work with local leaders like the Mayor of Greater Manchester to help bring the vision to life.
None of this has impressed the Conservatives, who say Labour are stealing their ideas. I spoke to their Shadow Treasury Secretary, Gareth Davies, earlier.
The biggest blocker to growth is Rachel Reeves herself. If you look at the measures she took at the budget, which put a £25 billion new tax on businesses through the national insurance contributions, the context for today's announcement is that growth has tanked since Labour took office. She's desperately clutching for any policy that will help reverse that. She is clutching and very much hastily trying to find measures which will boost confidence in our economy. And I'm afraid it is too late. Businesses have already made up their mind about this government and they need to really get a grip of this. She needs to get a grip of this. But I'm afraid My assessment is that she's completely out of her depth.
After the speech, our reporter, Callum McIntyre, got to speak to the Chancellor and asked about rumours around a potential development in Bedfordshire.
I'd just like to start off by asking about the Universal Studios in Bedfordshire. It seems like a really big project, especially for growth. It's going to bring lots of tourism into the area and be very big to the local economy. I'm just wondering, you know, what's the hold and will you be showing a backing for Universal Studios in Bedfordshire?
Anyone listening to my speech today can see that I want to be the Chancellor that goes further and faster on delivering growth and bringing investment, including from overseas, into the UK. I'm not going to comment on individual projects at this stage, but global investors, when they're looking at Britain now, know that this is a good place to invest because of the reforms we're making on planning, on regulation, so we can get stuff built in this country again.
After a day of announcements, the Chancellor will be hoping the growth that they've spoken about so often actually materialises.
And you can see more reaction to the various plans on the news pages of our radio station websites. Still to come, we hear from reporters on rising water bills while shareholders profit and the issue of pavement parking in Scotland. But first, it's almost a year since the ban on XL bully dogs came in England and Wales. And today, police chiefs have revealed the resources needed to enforce that ban are putting forces under a huge burden. The National Police Chiefs Council has highlighted the cost of kennels, as well as extra staff and vets bills. Here's more from our reporter Greg Dean.
It costs police forces around £1,000 a month to keep a dog in kennels.
We've seen since February 2024, right up till September 2024, policing has spent £11.7 million in the seizure and kennelling of dogs. Our expectations are that that figure is going to rise up till £25 million. Unfortunately, to date, we haven't seen any additional funding coming in from the government to meet this demand.
That's the NPCC's tactical lead for dangerous dogs, Paddy O'Hara. Vets bills, kennelling, overtime and extra staff are expected to reach £25 million by the time it's been a full year of the ban. Paddy told us when the ban came in, they were inundated with a flurry of people who hadn't registered their dogs.
So all of a sudden we were kind of going from a point of view where we were preparing for it, but I don't think we quite expected the number of people that would then ring us and say, I missed the deadline, I didn't register. And of course, within the legislation, there was absolutely no leeway whatsoever. There was no grace period. There was no ability to say, well, we'll give you a fine, for example. So that involved seizure, it involved effort, it involved case files. And on average, to progress a simple XL bully file can take you potentially up to 3 months, so that's about £3,000 in kennelling.
He says it's coupled with high levels of dangerous dog incidents and an increasing number of dog attacks. Just today, a man from South Wales whose XL bully attacked a 12-year-old girl has been sentenced to 3 years behind bars. Justin Allison from Ebbw Vale pleaded guilty to being in charge of a dog that was dangerously out of control. And while kennels are charging a premium, the police forces aren't getting any extra funding.
The Cabinet Office rules are really simple. There should be a new burdens assessment for any new activity that the government seeks to impose upon a public authority. We would have expected a top-up into our budget and we would have expected a settlement going forward. And none of that, I'm afraid to say, has arisen.
The NPCC says forces in England and Wales seized and euthanised 848 dogs between February and September 2024. These were dogs which were surrendered to police by owners who'd not complied with the ban.
To Northern Ireland next, where a woman has bravely waived her right to anonymity by telling the story about the abuse she suffered at the hands of her ex-partner. It comes as a new Power to Change campaign to tackle attitudes towards women was launched by the PSNI. Our chief reporter in Belfast, James Gould, has more.
Today we heard that abuse doesn't start with a punch. Instead, for Eva Kumevis, it was misogynic comments before injuries that led to a broken jaw and dental reconstruction. Eva told me it still affects her.
Nightmares. Many times I can't sleep. It's better now. Much worse after when it happened. I just couldn't sleep during the night and I had these nightmares.
The PSNI want people to consider that something classed as banter is sometimes going too far.
Two stories coming up now where many of us will have an opinion: water bills and parking. First, let's talk about the reason water firms are under the spotlight again today. They're being accused of using the same so-called greenwashing tactics as the tobacco, chemical and fossil fuel industries of the past. As millions of households face rising bills, United Utilities and South West Water have confirmed they'll raise payouts to shareholders. All the while, there are issues over sewage and polluted water. Our chief reporter in the South West, Andrew Kay, has been looking into this for us.
In front of me is a huge recreational outdoor space known as the Mare in Exmouth, which is free for anyone in the community to be able to use and spend time outdoors. But part of it at the moment is cordoned off after a pollution spill this morning. The warnings went up just hours after South West Water announced it was increasing bills here for customers by 23%.
I live overlooking it and it's constantly, when there's any rain, full of sewerage.
That's dog walker Anne, who says it's frustrating that while part of the area is cordoned off, there are no signs up telling people exactly why.
We see lots of people with children and dogs thinking it's a fun puddle to play in, and it's just shocking. There's not even warning signs. We've got a bit of plastic fence. That doesn't stop any sewerage.
Joe Bateman is a 63-year-old sea swimmer here in the town who's already trying to take South West Water to court over previous pollution incidents.
People are really angry about the Mare. I've already heard stories from people whose dogs have got sick. This should not be happening at all. It is absolutely disgusting.
Today, the Environment Agency, which is assessing the pollution spill in front of me, rubber-stamped plans by the water firm to spend some of the extra money customers are being charged on environmental protections. In fact, this more than £2 billion plan will reduce pollution incidents by a third, also enhance biodiversity such as protecting salmon and otters, and better protect designated bathing sites like the Dart Estuary. But while South West Water's pledged to reduce its pollution by a third, neighbouring water firms like Wessex Water have pledged to reduce theirs by half. Professor Alex Ford is from the University of Portsmouth. He's been researching what he's calling greenwashing tactics across the water industry.
The water industries are now trying to push this line of going, well, let's draw a line under this. Maybe we weren't so good in the past, but let's move on from it. Please, can we have more money from you, because we need to fix the problems? And that's where everybody gets really frustrated, because they feel like they've already paid for this.
In front of me, I can see South West Water carrying out investigations, and in a statement, the water firm's told me it's investing £38 million into the town here. But it is worth noting today's shares were trading up at the parent company of South West Water after it confirmed it would look to increase dividends on the back of higher bills for customers, and also toughing up shareholders for almost £500 million in additional cash.
Well, Andrew mentioned South West Water specifically in that report. United Utilities have confirmed bill increases of 32% over the next 5 years. To Glasgow now, and drivers who ignore rules against ditching their cars on the curb and double parking could be hit with a hefty fine. They'll be handed warning notices for a few weeks before £100 penalties are given out. Our senior reporter Callum McQuaid is across this story, and I started by asking him why the City Council is making this change to the law.
It's to help people with sight issues and disabilities use the pavements more freely. A lot of people have talked about how they've been forced to move onto the roads and onto oncoming traffic when cars have been parked on the pavements because there hasn't been enough room to get past. But it is quite a controversial topic.
We have a drive for one car, but there's two cars in our household. And also having the drive there is also a risk that somebody decides to park over it.
There's much less space now to park in our street.
When I was beginning to lose my sight, often I would hit my shoulder against the wing mirrors of badly parked cars and white vans in particular. This is what happens here. I'm stuck between the car and the bollards.
There are some streets which do have exemptions.
I think that'll be one we'll be keeping an eye out in the future to see how it unfolds. And finally, we've had the chance to talk to one of the original pop idols today. It's been 22 years since Gareth Gates came runner-up on the ITV show. Now he's bringing a new show to Dorset, paying tribute to his own musical idols. Gareth Gates sings Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, comes to Weymouth Pavilion next month. And he spoke to our reporter, Maria Greenwood.
Gareth, obviously we know you from Pop Idol, which I can't believe it's 22 years ago.
You made me feel very old now. Thank you.
Sorry.
No, it was a great experience. Obviously, Pop Idol was the first of its kind, well before X Factor and the likes. None of us knew what it was or what it was to become. And we just, enjoyed the ride. I was only 17. It was fun. I had a lot of success in the early days as a pop star, 5 number 1s and millions of records, big tours. Then I went into musical theatre, which was great.
Yeah, you've had a lot of musical theatre credits. And am I right in thinking are you writing a show as well?
Yeah, I'm writing a musical called Speechless, about a guy that can't speak, a topic very close to my heart, obviously. And it's great. I've had the idea for about 7 or 8 years, but it took for us to go into lockdown to, you know, actually have the time to write it, to be in a room with a piano and a guitar for that length of time. Hopefully we'll have a West End show by 2026, hopefully.
Most of us are making banana bread. You're being really creative and working on a show. And we've seen you recently on TV, haven't we, as well, in SAS Who Dares Wins, Celebrity.
I think I had what it took physically. And everything they threw at me physically, I was able to do. Mentally, they just know how to get into your head and they really push you to your limits. But thankfully, I won the whole series. I was the last man standing.
And you can find out more on these and other stories on the news pages of our radio station websites. Or don't forget to subscribe or come back here tomorrow for another roundup of some of the day's biggest news stories on Behind the Headlines.